Good evening, everyone. I'm Steve Becko, Chief Editor of the Golden Age of Gaia, and with me today is Linda Dillon, Channel for the Council of Love and author of the Jesus Book, The New You, and The Great Awakening. And Linda, you've turned now from working on the Jesus Book to planning your November gathering in Sedona. How's it coming?
It's coming really wonderfully. And in addition to being the host or hostess, depending on what generation you're from, I'm really pleased to say that you will be there speaking, and Susie Maresca will be there speaking, as well as a number of others, Marianne Baer and Elizabeth Patrick. We have a Grammy-winning, several Grammy-winning harpist, Peter Sterling, who is going to come and do our sound meditations. And Poco Diablo is geared up and ready for us, so things are really falling into place.
I love Poco Diablo. That was really beautiful at the 2012 Scenario Conference.
Yeah,
really beautiful.
It's a great, great location. And, you know, the council was really quite insistent that that be the place where we go. And I was curious because, you know, there's a couple of really nice venues. I mean, not only was Poco the right price in terms of the rooms for participants, but when I started doing my research, I mean, I knew that that resort was owned by Native American tribes. Mm. But when I started doing the research in terms of the mission statement of the Avapai Nation that owns it, you know, our whole workshop, the whole gathering is about moving through acts of will and action into the fulfillment of the mother's plan, into creation and co-creation. And when I looked at the history of the Yavapais and how they've really developed this for sustainability for the tribe, I thought, oh my gosh, we're going somewhere where there's a living example of how this is done. So it's there's no coincidence.
Uh-huh. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we're expecting to talk to Archangel Uriel today, who's a bringer of the future. And I think at some point in the hour, I'd like to ask him about the future for Native Americans, because we have some people who want to help them after the reval and don't know what to expect. So why don't I let you make the transition? Unless there was something else you wanted to say about Poco Diablo, did I?
Oh, no.
You're good?
I'm ready to step aside.
Step aside. What a modest proposition.
Greetings. I am Uriel.
Greetings, Uriel.
Welcome. I am Archangel. Holder, bringer, archangel of the silver ray, bringer of the future, and the future is now. I am honored and pleased that you have called out and invited me, all of you, to join you this day. Often because I am the transition archangel, the anchor of what is to come, the fulfillment of the plan of the mother. I am not as popular as some. Is that not humorous?
Yes, thank you for that. How do you know? Do you have a popularity chart up there?
Or? Yes, we take polls all the time.
Uh-huh.
So one hint, then, that I bring you this day. The future is filled with laughter, camaraderie, joy, friendship, unity. The silver ray also brings a level, can I say a greater level, of clarity, of purity, and connection with divine, with all realms, with the elementals, with the kingdoms, with your star family. So I would like to suggest to many of you that perhaps you begin to think of utilizing the silver more freely, more frequently, for there are many benefits. And I would also like to suggest, as brother, as ally, as historic friend, not only of future but of past, that I bring you many blessings. Very often you think in terms of the colorful rays, but Gabrielle and I, we have are the fundamental connections. No, never do we seek to override or diminish our brothers and sisters, because that is not the way of love. That is not the way that we serve the mother. And so let that be the first comment I share. Nothing is truly ever achieved, brought to fruition, brought to fulfillment, if it is at the price of attempting or actually diminishing the well-being of another. The truth of love is that all blossom equally. All are given the latitude, the spaciousness in which to truly blossom. Sometimes you think or you feel that energetically human beings in many ways are squished like sardines or anchovies in a can, and that there is no room for you to really create or to bring about that sense of sacred space and spaciousness. That is not really true, even in the areas that you have thought of as very densely populated. There is always enough sacred space for each and every being to truly blossom. Think of it in this way. In a perfect garden, the flowers and the plants are not so closely bound that they strangulate one another. And yet as they grow and come to the fruit, whether it is a blossom or a pear, they brush each other. They exchange fragrance. They exchange energy. They receive the bounty of one another. That is what humanity, right now, and certainly in the future, is learning. Now, I have suggested to and through this channel that today we would talk about what lies ahead. And this is part of what truly not only lies ahead, because I am not going to make a concrete delineation between what lies ahead and what is taking place in what Mikael and Gabrielle and so many others have described as this transition period. Because I don't want you to think, feel, or act as if what is happening, what is occurring, what is being brought forth, both by you and the company of heaven, is some distant future. Because you are in the creation mode. Are you learning? Yes. Are you perfecting? Yes. Are you bringing forth the future? Yes. Are you anchoring it in the now? Yes. All of this. But let us make this fluid, harmonious. Might I even say easy? There have been many declarations, and sometimes you think we haven't heard you, but we have heard every whisper, every cry, every declaration of frustration, sometimes despair, jubilation, victory. There have been declarations that you are tired of waiting. You are tired of being hamstrung. You are tired of this and that. We understand this. But what has need to be let go of, surrendered, cleared, you have so many terms for the same thing, is this belief that in fact you are hamstrung, that you are restricted. There are certain areas that lie ahead, but the ability above and below to bring forth your heart's desires are so wide open, you have no conception of how wide that portal is. Now, you tend to think, when I use this term portal, of the ascension portal, that many of you, most of you in many ways, have been flying back and forth through now for quite some time. But when I am saying portal, I am also referring to the portal of your being. You are a portal. You are conjoining with the totality of your sacred self. That is step number one in sacred union. We have begun with the portal of your heart, with the expansion and awareness of your bright, beloved heart. Each of your chakras are portals, and you are learning and remembering in so many ways how to use these portals. There is a great deal of attention right now being focused upon your solar plexus and other areas. But that is the seat of your will, as you know. And this portal has need to be wide open, not only for the alignment and the reception of divine will, but for the full activation of your will and the balancing of that with your heart, with your head, with your root. In so many ways, but you have not tended to think of yourself as portals, and we encourage you to do so. The spectrum of what is available to you, even before we talk about what we are up to, the spectrum of what you are capable of, is beyond your imagination. When you begin, and this is where your future lies, let us start with the blockbuster statement. Where your future lies is in the alignment of your heart, your mind, your will, and your anchoring in physicality, in the richness, diversity, the vibrance of Gaia, of being in form. When that is truly wide open, in balance, not only activated, but in action, there is nothing that is not possible. So often, you have looked, and we are glad, to us, to the Mother, which we all do, to your star family, for assistance. And that is in the balance of all creation. But you are also looking to yourself, to your sacred self. So often we see you in this sense of searching, 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 yearning, wanting, wondering, how do I access? But you access through your being. To start with your heart. And then to bring into reality. And when I say reality, I mean your experience. What you desire. Now, there have been many distractions. And you say, well, I can't do that because of the Illuminati or the Cabal or this or that, my mother, my father, my sister, my neighbor. I can't do that because I am broke. I have no money. I can't do that because I don't feel well. I can't do that because. What we don't hear often enough, and where I am hoping, even as I am activating you as we speak, where we move to, and where the future and the present lie, is not an I can't, it is an I can, and I will. Now, beloved friend, ally of my brother, where do you wish to begin?
Well, I think I'd like to begin by getting a picture of the future. What does the future hold for us, Uriel? A lot of people are wondering when Nesra will come in. A lot of people are wondering about the American election. Many people are wondering about the reval, this event that just seems to get postponed and postponed and postponed. So could you tell us, perhaps, what the future holds for us, please?
How you create, and I am not avoiding your question, how you create individually and collectively is holding a very defined frequency. What lies ahead and where the future lies is individually and the collective holding a frequency that allows, and it is a frequency of love. There is only really one frequency. And so you are thinking, oh, what this frequency is. It is love. It is a sound. It is a light. It is an energy. It is a vibration. It is a wave. Many things do not come fully into fruition because individually and collectively that frequency is not strong enough yet. Think of it in this way. You have turned on a radio or a GPS or whatever, and it fades in and out. Now, what happens with whether it is an American election or a reevaluation of your financial systems? What happens is the frequency comes into clarity and then it fades. And it comes into clarity and it fades. Now, I know you don't like this explanation, so let me be practical in what I am talking about. Oh, you are going to be reevaluated next week. Too often, what is happening, and I am not being critical, I am explaining what is occurring. It is not a matter of laziness. There is a level of, oh, I can breathe, I can relax, and that is a good thing. But there are also many who are looking at this in two ways that are not entirely of a positive nature. One is, now I will be wealthy and I can unplug. My life is solved and I can escape into my fantasy life. Well, that is of the old paradigm of old Earth. Now, I am not suggesting, there are some of you that in fact are being given this vacation. But that is not the purpose of this undertaking. The other energy, which is even more destructive, which makes the fade happen, that creates the fade, is avarice and greed. This is not eliminated, and I am not talking merely about what you have termed, or what we have termed as the recalcitrant or the reluctant, or even the disinterested. There is a sense of greed, and it isn't a greed that is necessarily based in a feeling of, I want more money, more energy, more wherewithal in order to promote well-being upon the planet. It is simply greed for greed's sake. And that is of such an ancient pattern that it does not contribute, let alone build, the clarity. Now, I am not singling out. That is neither my wish nor my job. But it is important, this clarity. And you say, but we have projects willing and ready to go. But my friends, you are but a small pocket of this undertaking. It has been a massive human, not divine, assistance from our side and from your star side and from the master side that you aren't even aware of, because it would be beyond your level of dealing with variables. But it is the human as well that needs to be at least neutral. And so you say to me, well, then there's no hope. And that is where you are wrong. Think of it this way. When you hold, and I'm talking to the multitude that lies out there. When you hold the frequency of the vision, of the love, then in fact you are creating, you are forcing, I don't know how else to say it, you are forcing a clear signal. And that is basically why you have invited me today. So that we can encourage you, and we are already aligned with you, to create that frequency that allows the flow. Because this has been in and out, and there are so many, well, your term would be liars. Yes, if you thought Gabrielle was outspoken, then you have not talked to me, have you? There are so many, consciously and unconsciously, that are feeding misinformation. And they simply think that they have to constantly prime the well rather than simply saying, I don't know what's going on. That is beyond the level of my source or information, or it is beyond my level of understanding. And so there is a great deal of fabrication that has come forth. And that is not in alignment with Mikael's truth or peace. And if you look at this situation of the reevaluation and apply that same principle to elections or war, it is true in each and every one of these scenarios. Now, the good news is humans across the planet, Gaians, are attuning themselves to that frequency of love. And it is happening. There is a two-step process. There has been the process of I am so fed up, which has been different than the exhaustion that we identified many months ago. It has moved from exhaustion to I am so fed up. And that is a good thing, because it is a conscious declaration on many levels and in many spheres, practical and unpractical, esoteric, that what has transpired, what the history of the collective has been, doesn't work. And it is not merely a yearning. It is not merely a, what else can we do? There is an active expression of I am fed up. We have to do something else. So the dial has changed. The frequency has changed. And from that, you are already in that place of, we will do everything we can. Now you say to me, Uriel, you're piling on more work on us. No, we are not. What you are doing is coming into the frequency, not only with us, the harmonious frequency, but with your sacred selves and with each other. Because with this sensation of I am fed up and what can I do right now, what can we do right now, is the movement into proaction. So what I am saying, and I will talk about what lies ahead in terms of the practicality.
Well, actually, you must talk about what lies ahead, period, Archangel Uriel, because I know that the listeners will be here to hear something about what our future is. So I'm going to, we're halfway through the program, and we haven't yet reached what lies ahead. So coach me on this. What can I expect?
You can expect greater expansion. You can expect the practicality of projects to come forth that transform the planet. You
right.
can expect a shift in your political system, your economic system, your social system. You
right.
can expect what you have thought of as overpopulated cities to shift into gardens of Eden. You can expect harmony in terms of race relationship, gender relationships, age relationships, national relationships. You
yeah.
can expect the world that you have all been yearning for.
Yeah. Now, that is a very compressed view. I'm sure that some of the things you said at the end are not going to show up right away. Can you give us some idea of the timing of all this?
The timing is very rapid. You see,
wow.
you are used to thinking in terms of centuries or decades, which is rather ironic for those that are impatient to get going. But this that we are talking about months, yes, it will take a couple of years in terms of everything to sort out and for new paradigms of equality and the understanding that people are free to come into place.
Right.
But don't think that first we have financial reorganization and then 2 years and we have social reorganization, and then we have 2 years and it takes institutional reorganization, because this is all coming on stream pretty much simultaneously. It is orchestrated in terms of simultaneous action, because each being and then the sectors of the beings have their own stream that they are addressing. So it is not one and then the other. If you are asking me to declare that reevaluation is happening next Tuesday, I am not prepared to do that, because, as I am saying, some of this harmonization has to take place. Now, are you almost there? Yes. Are you closer than you've ever been? Yes.
Well, let me put it this way, Uriel. We're used to thinking. One of the ways we're used to thinking is being in a meeting room with the head of the company or a manager or something, giving a presentation about what we're going to be doing in the next year, say. And in order to coordinate everyone, they give deadlines. Now, I know we don't give dates, and I know we don't give deadlines, but we're used to thinking in this way. So, you know, even if we see the roster of events that are coming up, without us knowing when all this is going to happen, it's very difficult for us. It's very difficult to coordinate. For instance, I can mention, hey, we have this project over here. It's after the reval. But then people start writing in right away and saying, you know, this, that, and I get bogged down in email. We don't have a common understanding of what schedule we're working to. What would you say to that comment?
What I would say is that, first of all, you are already on schedule. I would also say that you are already planning and gathering your information, your teams, your own schedules. And as you're planning the schedules, you're anchoring that into form. So when we say to you, and I would be glad to do so, do this by next Tuesday, now it would be interesting, would it not, from our perspective, as we watch how many would actually comply. You are proceeding not simply as if. You are proceeding because you are bringing it into form. Now, you can go into that boardroom and as if you were meeting with us or your star family, and they would say, we would say, we're good to go. Get back to us with the actual plan. Now, there is a reticence, and we understand that. I understand your question, dear. What you are saying is, we can't say what day we're going to get going because you haven't funded us yet.
No, I'm actually talking about the difficulty of coordinating anything if we don't have a schedule. I mean, any project has a project scheduler. And the first question that comes up in the meeting room is, okay, well, when do you want us to have this done by? Well, so that the various departments can coordinate, the electrical, the materials handling department, if it's a pulp mill, machine room, etc. They can, I'm not going to bring in the equipment for the machine room until the room itself is built. We lack any kind of schedule. We lack any means of coordinating. So, yes, we're all flailing around and beginning initiatives that really don't go very far. And we need to organize ourselves, number one, but we need your help in organizing. We don't know what's coming up. That's why I'm talking to you today.
What is coming up is not merely what you are creating, but what is in alignment with the mother's plan. Now, let's be practical. If it isn't in alignment with the mother's dream, desire, plan, the father as well, then it isn't going to happen. Now, you've talked about, and this is an aside, about free will. But there are certain undertakings that will not come to fruition because it is not in alignment with what the mother and father have designed. So what I am saying to you is you are in a state of readiness. Now, you are talking about your listeners, your readers, those that share the platform with you. But there are many others that are not in such a state of readiness. And yes, it is true, you are waiting for the laggards. But they are hurrying along. Many of them are running full force to catch up to you. Everything that you have been planning in terms of creating Nova Earth, in terms of peace, in terms of unity, in terms of cooperation, in terms of equality of financial wherewithal, in terms of social equality, all these are coming to pass very rapidly because they are absolutely in alignment with the mother's plan. And that will create an atmosphere, a frequency of such a strength and magnitude that that which is not in alignment will be literally faded out. So there will not be the continuation of war and mayhem. There will not be armed confrontation. There will not be the situation of political injustice or fiscal injustice or gender injustice. These will fade away because it is not in alignment with divine will. We are not overriding free will. You are holding the frequency of human divine will. That is what is drowning out. And that is why your frequency and your vibration has been turned up so radically. So what I am saying to you is that everything is a green light in terms of what lies ahead. Are there moments where you will say, oh no, I had no idea of the magnitude of this undertaking? Yes. And that is where I and everybody will be here to help. But if you are asking, is this going to come to pass? Now, there are some things that are a radical misunderstanding. Let us use Nasara. You are looking for those who have been placed in governance through electoral process, which is the best you have had in place, to declare that they will make you free. So you are asking those that have held you in bondage to create situations that will make you free. Well, that is not going to happen. First, there has need to be a change in the pattern of governance and elections. Then you will see the change. But you cannot ask the existing situation of those that have practiced control and greed and avarice and aggression to then somehow find within their hearts the situation to make you free and to override them. That is not realistic. What you are doing is holding a frequency that will change who is in office, and then what looks like holding office will change dramatically. We're not talking about the breakdown, initially anyway, of what countries look like, but they become far more collaborative. But the interim step is getting rid, literally, of those in positions of power that have continually said no to you. So it is a, yes, your revolution is a revolution of heart. And that is already underway. You are saying, when will it begin? But it is already vigorously underway. That is why I say it is already happening. You have been making your plans. You have been anchoring it in your form. So it is green light the whole way.
Well, maybe a fruitful discussion might be how we proceed with these undertakings which we're discussing right now, given that our own models on Earth, models such as a meeting room at which the CEO says this is what we're doing, are not seemingly applicable. Then how do we proceed in co-creation with you if we don't know what we're doing, if we don't know what's coming down the pike or when it's coming down the pike? I just don't have a clear picture of how we do this.
No, your questions are more about when than what, because in fact most of you are focused on the when. You know what you want to do. The plans are in place.
Some of them are. We don't, for instance, we've been talking a little bit about having an overall coordinating forum that would direct, receive, and direct the use of large flows of money. But that doesn't, I mean, that's just the merest discussion. Not quite sure how to phrase this, but this is an undertaking unlike any we've ever done before, and certainly unlike any that has been done in the regular way we do things on Earth. So I'm a little at sea right now. I don't know how we're going to do this if the model of co-creation or model of direction or whatever is not well understood and present. How do we work with you?
But you work with us every day.
Well, in a more organized fashion, then, in a fashion that actually creates large scale projects, like, for instance, the end of hunger, the end of poverty, or handling the refugee situation in Europe. How do we work with you? We don't have the ability to see so far that we can rely only on ourselves to do this work. We need your assistance. How do we work with
that you? That you will include in your boardroom, to use your example, those who have, can we say, perhaps a clearer connection to start with us than perhaps everyone present. Because there is not a single meeting in terms of what you are designing and what the mother has in so many ways already designed in which we are not fully present. Now, you may not all of you, some of you do, you may not all be seeing us clearly, but we are absolutely present. So let us talk about the practical. So you are gathering, and let us also say, while it is unity consciousness, heart consciousness, love consciousness, you cannot practically have 1,000 people making a singular decision. Stewardship and leadership means each assuming their place and role. But let us get back to the practicality. You have a meeting. You have your plans in place. Each of you, and that is why the magnitude of this seems so overwhelming. But you cannot look literally at the millions of plans that are in place and underway, because much of the preparation work is already done. So let us take a singular undertaking, and you meet every single step of the way. Your litmus test is this of love? Is this of benefit equally to all concerned? Is there a future direction of which we are not aware and perhaps we need to, in this interim transition phase, utilize our channels for? Is there further information that we need in order to proceed? And that will be either yes or no. And if it is yes, we will give it to you right on the spot. And then you take that not as orders, but as guidance and direction. And you manipulate it to fit the plan that you are working. And then you begin to take the action steps, but holding that vibration continually. Your biggest job is holding that vibration of love. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart. And then you meet again. And you proceed. And you proceed not recklessly, but bravely. Will there be missteps? Yes. Will they be tragic missteps? No. Because we are on parallel, conjoined pathways. Many of you are starting to see us very clearly, or hear us, feel us very clearly. That partnership bridge has been crossed. Now, is it growing in terms of the clarity? Yes. But we are doing a cooperative, collegial, unified undertaking. So it is not that you will consult us later or that we will ask you to do X later. It is every step of the way. Now you say, well, what am I going to do? The person who is sitting in the wilds of Kansas and who is thinking of queen farming, they say, well, I do not have access to a channel. I just want to grow my crops and provide clean food. That desire is already in alignment with the mother. And part of what will be provided to that farmer in Kansas is the connection. There are those whose sole job, whose sole project is to provide those who have the capacity to provide the guidance. So there is a very big picture in unfoldment, and it is interwoven in harmonious, cooperative ways. So it is not so much a question of what to do, because what I am suggesting to you in terms of the unfoldment of what you think of as events is that it is a green light. So is there an eagerness, an antsiness, a frustration about let's get started? Yes. But first is the stronger harmonization. Think about it. You say, well, what are we supposed to do? And it is frustrating, is it not? Because I am saying, hold the love more. Raise the frequency. Because that is what keeps the green light green.
Okay, well, thank you for that. I would like to turn for a few minutes to what is being planned to assist Native Americans. I have a person who's participating in the reval and doesn't know how to target her aid to Native Americans because she doesn't know what the plans are. My understanding is that part of NESRA is reimbursement. I don't know what the word is. Compensation is the word to natives for having their land stolen and such. Can you tell us something about what is planned to compensate North American Indians, but I assume that it's the Aboriginal population of all countries.
Yes, the original peoples that have in many ways provided spiritual and practical foundations for this fulfillment of the plan. And there have been many operations and atrocities that have been committed against these people. But part of the transition is the reconstitution, the re-implementation of freedom and self-governance. So it is a matter, will most original peoples be compensated in terms of those who have been left without, shall we put it that way, which in many ways, and certainly in North America, also infers that you are talking about urban original peoples. But nevertheless, that responsibility and the money, the practicality, the willingness, the political willingness to do this undertaking will be present, but it has need to be in the hands of the Native American peoples, the indigenous peoples. So it will not be a matter of various outsiders, if we can use that term, coming to the forefront to fix. Use the example of America, United States of America, Native populations. They have been fixed too many times by what you think of as the white people. And so the money will be made available, but how it is used by those that are fully awake and already have their own plans. So the role will be more of funding so that there can be a growing harmony, because what has happened is there is an inequality, and it is true of many of the races. The inequality will be resolved, and it is not just financial. It is social, it is political, it is institutional, it is legal. It is on every forefront that these corrections have need to be made. But first step is the sense of freedom and the claiming of autonomy on the part of the indigenous populations. So it will not be a matter, for example, of doing this or that. It will be a matter of providing the funding. But there are many, many, many indigenous groups that are already involved. You see, you do not have, and we do not say this in the critical way, there is such a wide spectrum of the people rising up that you don't have the broader picture of how many undertakings are planned. It is across the board, and it is in every country.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. We're nearing the top of the hour, and it's been a fascinating subject, and one that simply cannot be compressed into a single hour. Too bad, but it's a very large subject. So thank you very much for coming with us today. Do you have any final comments before we close the show?
Archangel, I am asking you to do two things. This is the consultation in the boardroom.
Yeah.
I am asking for two items. Harmonization.
Yeah. What does that word mean, harmonization, in this context? Harmonization.
It means to stay in the harmony, the frequency, and the vibration of love, of your highest self, and the highest collective energy of love and green light. I want you all to hold the vision constantly, not ebb and flow. Oh, they said it was yesterday and it's tomorrow, and I am so disgusted. I simply want you to ignore all that information and hold the vision of green light.
Green light, okay. I'm laughing because the galactics turn the light red up my corner so that I can cross the street every time I approach the street, but now I will think of a green light.
You are sick of the red light, my friend.
It's a lovely thing that greets me every morning. Archangel Uriel, thank you very much. We'll have to come back again. We'll have to discuss this subject more, because 1 hour is just simply not enough. But thank you for coming here today.
I would be pleased.
Thank
Go
you
with
much.
My love. And anchor in your now.
Thank you.
In harmony, in will, in heart.
Thank you.
Farewell.
Farewell.